everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. What is happening, man? I am JP. He is Nick Martin.
What's up?
How are you, brother?
Dude, I'm so good. We're in Portland.
We are in Portland. Oh, did you want it?
No, it's cool, man. It's all right.
We are on... Damn it, Nick. We are... We are on location at Great Notion Brewing in Portland. And this place is pretty spectacular. We got a little kind of behind the scenes deal here. We're actually filming and shooting this inside the floor where they make the best beers in the history of beers ever that existed. Ooh. And with us, today's amazing special guest, Paulie Ryder, CEO, the man, the myth, the legend. Forget all the other owners. As far as I'm concerned today, you, sir, are straight up owner of this place. Thank you for inviting us and welcome on to Dadcast, man.
Dude, thanks for coming. I'm psyched.
Yeah, buddy. So you've watched the show. You've told us as much.
To be specific.
You've listened to the show. So you know what's coming, man. The first question, the rite of passage. Nick, ask the question.
Are you a dad?
I am a dad.
How many kids you got?
Got two amazing daughters. Shout out to Autumn and Albie.
Autumn and Albie, how old are they?
6 and 9.
6 and 9, man.
Ooh. One's my wife and one's me. Like dead on looks and personality.
Yeah?
Like, yeah. Crazy. Exact opposites.
You're getting into that preteen where the shit's going to get real.
Yeah. I'm getting those pre-hormone things going on from a nine-year-old now. Yeah. It's crazy.
It feels like it's already there. My daughter, she's 8. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's right in the middle of those two. And, of course, I have an older daughter who's been through it. So, yeah, man, I'm praying for you.
Dude, thank you. I definitely need it, man. Yeah, I got, you know, wife's a lady, two girls that are ladies. I got two cats. They're both girls. Sometimes my mother-in-law stays with me. You know, I'm the only dude. I feel like there's 100 females.
We need to come and visit more.
Yeah. Who did we have on recently that was in the exact same boat? It was Phil X.
Phil X.
Yeah, I guess he had a cat that was male, and that was it.
Yeah.
And he's surrounded by girls. I'm close. I'm lucky. I got one son, so he gets to, you know, keep that hormone balanced a little bit for me in the house.
I don't know. Avery sounds kind of like a beast, though, dude.
She kicks the crap out of her older brother.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, he lets her, for the record. If he were to unleash, it would be bad news bears. So, man.
Cool, but he's building building the confidence in her, or she's building it herself.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But in the same time, completely deflating his.
Yeah.
You know, he's a sensitive soul, and so
and
is she, but
okay, though.
Not as much.
Emo, dude.
Tell
him to move up to Portland. We'll fit right in.
Exactly.
Start listening to My Chemical Romance.
Oh, man. And that was Dadcast.
All right.
So, what issues, Paulie, have you had as a dad? We all get them. We all have them. Do you have those issues? Is there anything that stands out in your mind that you're just like, it's not a big deal, but it's kind of annoying? And whatever it may be, what steps are you taking to rectify that?
Let's see. Talking about just raising the kids.
Like
things that are fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, my 6-year-old rules the house, right? She yells at everyone. She doesn't know how to talk at a normal volume, interrupts us nonstop. And an issue that I have is I yell nonstop. You know, I'm from Philly, blue-collar family. My dad yelled everything. Like, literally, how are you today? Like, everything's a fucking yell. And that's her somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, one of the reasons my wife and I moved to Portland is to be more chill. You know, get away from that Philly loudness, throwing batteries at, you know,
is that,
Santa Claus.
Is it true what they
like
say?
That.
Are you
yeah, bro.
Are you a total one of those fans?
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan, bro.
Oh, man.
Come on, man.
I'm a Raider fan, so I thought we had a bad rep.
No.
But no, Philly.
Philly's asshole. You know, but I try to move out here, get more emo, right? Go on hikes, meditate.
How's that working out for you?
I'm getting there, man. I've been here 15 years. You know, I'm still getting there.
I don't see you yelling, though, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I started exercising and trying to meditate. You know, during the pandemic, it's helped a little bit. I might do it once every 2 weeks, you know, but when I get the chance to do it, I feel better and I'm more calm.
Right.
And I'm not yelling in my house. So it's tough, dude. If you got a little kid who's coming up to you and just yelling at you.
Oh, like, yeah.
You
know,
your first instincts yell back. Right. But it's so hard. That's the issue.
I constantly try to reason with an 18 month old.
Yeah.
He yells. He tells me what to do. He calls me a dick.
Yeah.
Dick, get me a cookie. That's the shit I deal with.
Now,
Nick, I don't know if to high five him or give him a hug or like discipline. I don't know. I'm confused. What do I do, guys?
Well, it starts with not giving him a high five.
Okay.
Okay. Let's just start it right there. I would think.
Hug it is, then.
Positive affirmation of being called a dick is not what we want to do in this scenario.
So I think he's trying to say Nick. Because, like, mom calls me Nick.
Yes.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he comes.
I was going to ask, is he trying to say
Yeah. Yeah. He comes, hey, Dick.
So, wait, similar story. So, when my older daughter was real young, she would try to say Prince, and it would come out bitch. Your dad, she walked up to me one day and said, Dad, you're my bitch. She meant to say, Dad, you're my prince, dude. My wife and I were dying. I'm like, wait, what are you saying? And then she, like, pointed at the screen, and there was, like, Cinderella and the
really
prince.
It's really confusing,
because
you don't know. Like,
Paulie slowly puts the battery back in his pocket, right? You know?
Does she get a hug? I don't know, man. But
she got a hug a second later when I
figured
out.
But he does clearly say fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
18 months old?
Yeah. I slipped up and said it one time. I dropped something. I'm like, fuck. And he's all, fuck, Dad.
Okay. You can't say, if you do it one more time, I have to make this episode explicit, okay? Just, you know, so okay. just throwing that out there.
I know. I'm like looking around. I was like, hey, man, the boy's here. They're like, what are you doing?
Now, this is actually, I'm about to ask you a question that has never been asked on Dadcast before, because as far as I know, this particular scenario has not come up. You said you moved from Philly 15 years ago. So you are a Philly boy through and through. But your children, your girls, they're Oregonians.
Right.
How is that for you? Because I'm in the same boat. I'm a Southern California kid. Mm-hmm. You know, grew up on the beach and moved to Oregon 15, 16 years ago.
Yep.
And had my kids, and it's weird for me to think that they're, when they grow old and they think of home, it's Southern Oregon, whereas me, I'm still Southern Cal kid. How is that? Is that ever come across? Are you glad you got them out of that?
Here's when it comes across. We went to the Blazers. Blazers were playing Philadelphia 76ers. I've been here long enough we're a Blazer sponsor, right?
Right.
I'm torn, man. It's like I wore a Sixers t-shirt under the Blazers crew neck that you're wearing.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one to wear. I didn't know who to root for half the time. And I felt like a traitor once I saw myself starting the root. I was like, oh, Lillard just hit a three. I started the root for the Blazers. And then I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I doing, dude? Like,
yeah.
So the feeling is torn, right? Because I want my kids to have some major heart and gusto. And you know, that's what Philly's known for, is like, you know, just being honest and brutally truthful and, you know, loud and sarcastic and all these things. And Portlanders are the opposite. And Portland and Oregon are very different, as you guys know.
Oregon's
a super conservative state, but Portland's an insanely liberal city. So, you know, my kids are Portlanders, right? They're, you know, they get organic food, you know, for
So do you still have family in Philadelphia?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So do you guys go see family in Philadelphia?
Yeah,
so
once a year, go back and forth.
Okay.
Yep. So they understand, and they always hear mom and dad.
Are you close with dad still?
Yeah.
Dude, you should call him just to see if he, like, hello, Paulie, what are you doing?
Oh, he does. Yeah, we FaceTime on the weekend. Yeah, every weekend he FaceTimes. His first words always are yo, 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 every time.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo,
yo.
What up?
That's awesome. I just realized, too, and for everyone watching this at home and listening, let me describe to you. First of all, thank you, Paulie, for this awesome gear you gave me.
Dude, thank you.
I didn't actually look really close before donning this particular piece of merch, because as you all know, I'm a Laker fan.
Oh, that's right.
And then I just he mentioned it's the Portland sponsored one, and I looked down, and he's wearing a friggin' Trailblazer friggin' uni, and
that's all right, JP.
My family, I apologize, man.
I've been a Blazers fan my whole life.
Yeah,
Drexler, yes.
Clyde the Glide.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
ever since I was like that big.
So I love the shirt, but damn it.
Oh, just think of it as a beer. It's ripe. You're wearing the beer that Nick's drinking.
You're wearing a Blazer shirt.
So tell us a little bit about this adventure, Great Notion Brewing, man. Because from what I can see in the very limited window that I have had here today so far, the food, dynamite. You suggested the Philly cheesesteak. I'm never going to pass up a Philly cheesesteak. He even said it was authentic and said he's from Philly. So I said, all right, I'll take that Pepsi challenge. I had it. It was amazing. You weren't kidding.
Yeah,
awesome. Tested a few of the beers here. This is a great thing you guys got going on here, man.
Cool. Thanks, JP. Appreciate it, man.
But tell us about the beginnings and how did it come to be as we sit here today?
Cool. Yeah, we have a real cool story, y'all. Like, we're founded by three neighbors and friends. Like, we all lived literally on the same block, myself, James, and Andy. So I'm in charge of the business stuff. I'm co-founder, the CEO. I'm known for sales and marketing. Sorry, I'm looking up here, looking down
there. Yeah. They both work.
Sales and marketing, you know, the MBA guy. But my two partners, they were home brewers. They were stay-at-home dads, right? We all have two kids, all three owners. Lived on the same block, right? And so these guys were homebrewing and living right across the street from each other.
Right.
Like the one guy I think was just walking by. So Andy was checking out James's garage one day and he saw he was homebrewing his garage. He's like, they started talking about beer together, right? And then they started homebrewing together. One night I'm walking home from the pizza shop with my family and they're out drinking some of the homebrew on the porch, whatever the kids are playing. They're like, yo, come hang out for a little bit. Try some more brew. So, you know, I got drunk, man, on their beer. It was the best beer I ever had. This is 2014, I think.
Okay.
And we specialize in culinary inspired sours and stouts, but and also hazy IPAs. And in 2014, no one out here was making or drinking hazy IPAs. Everyone, the West Coast was all known for like clear, crispy, overly hoppy IPAs, right? That are kind of bitter. And if people don't like an IPA, they normally say it's too hoppy, right? So ours actually are equally hoppy, but they're not bitter at all. And that's the difference. Ours tastes like juice. And you drink it, you're like, wow, it tastes like fucking orange juice.
Yeah.
And find out.
I tried a lot of them today.
Yeah. So they got me drunk on that one night back in 2014. I'm like, holy shit, like, this is amazing. Like, let's start a brewery. What are you guys doing, man? They're like, well, we talked about it, but we don't really know how to do that stuff. They're like, we don't want to talk to a bank or lawyer. I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I just got my MBA. I fucking love talking to banks and lawyers and sales and marketing. Like, that's my shit. I was like, you guys just make the best beer on the planet, and I'll do everything else, and we're good. And that's what we're doing.
And here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how many locations are you at right now?
So we have three in Portland, two in Seattle right now. We have a pickup a fulfillment center in Sacramento. And we have a couple more in the works right now, though, too.
And living that dream, man.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's definitely way better than my last gig, you know.
And what was the last gig?
I like the people I worked with, but selling e-discovery software to banks and lawyers, it's not as fun as fucking getting paid to drink beer at work.
Right. Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree.
So in the works, Southern Oregon maybe, possibly?
We got to work our way down there first. Okay. So.
Work our way down. What's
what's stopping you?
I mean, just go ahead and skip Eugene and just, you know, screw Grants Pass. Sorry, Grants Pass. No, you know what? Never mind. I love Grants Pass. Yeah, but Medford's at Medford.
Medford's up and coming. It's
We might want to start with just Southeast Portland or South Portland first. I don't know. But then, I feel like Eugene. I mean, college town, right?
Yeah.
Only kids don't have money, but U of O kids got money, right?
Oh, they got money.
Because our beer is a premium beer, too. We're not like a Budweiser factory or anything, you know?
Well, I mean, gosh, you get sponsored by, you just get a duck sponsorship down there and open up. That would be.
That'd be sick.
It'd probably just do just fine.
A little card at all the games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Slinging beers instead of coffee.
Dude, that would be sick.
Ooh. Definitely. And your own, like, I don't know, season tickets?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
God, I'm not a Duck fan either. I don't know what I'm doing in Oregon. I know, right? It's just.
You're wearing a Blazers jersey.
Right. No, I'm not wearing a. Dude, I will go take it off if you're going to keep it up, Nick. Usually me hammering Nick. Nick, I'm so proud of you. You've taken. But then again, you have been drinking. And this only happens when he drinks a little bit of beer.
I had as much drinking as I did with Jesse.
You were half a beer in on that episode.
Our beers are strong, though.
Yeah, they are, yes.
Nick, why don't you show everyone the little glass you're using, though?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm joking.
See, it's huge.
No, that is his sixth or seventh one, though.
So. The smoothie beer, oh, my God. Like, anybody listening... What was that one? Because that was
the
phenomenal.
One you tried was
mango,
mango coconut mochi fruit in the glass.
It did not taste like a beer. It tasted like breakfast.
Yeah. Yes, it did. Was. I had a sip.
Yeah, dude. Did you guys ever have a breakfast smoothie out of Odwalla is the one that always pops in my mind. You know,
I made one this morning.
Yeah,
and
it's literally half juice though. It's half fruit puree, thick fruit puree.
It was really good and actually more enjoyable than an Odwalla.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we got a couple others I'll let you try, too. I'll send you home with a couple. Yeah.
I'm going to just put it out there. Odwalla is probably not ever going to sponsor us.
Yeah, you come on, man. This is what happens when Nick drinks.
We should do a collabo with them, though. I should call them.
By the time this podcast is over, no one is going to want to sponsor us. Nick, pump your brakes. Oh, did I offend?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I think I did a little.
Blazer shirt's cute, though.
Oh, man, I'm over it. Yeah, I'm over it. If I let him, you know, he's like a child. You're a dad. You know how this works.
Dad.
If I keep reacting, he's going to keep doing it.
You know why I picked the colors?
Black and red?
Blazers.
Blazer colors.
Okay. Oh. It's all right. Yeah. All right. It's also the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and there's black in there. So Raiders. So I'm cool with it.
Okay.
It's
all right. Moving on.
Told you, Paulie, we go off the rails sometimes on this podcast.
Let's talk about hip hop.
Hip hop. Cool.
Okay. Yes. I'm gonna. I'm out.
I want. So yeah, we were talking about atmosphere and all kinds of cool stuff at lunch. So.
Yeah. So I was just saying earlier, like, you know, I was doing a little research on you guys, right? Your background in the music industry and artist management and so on. So I used to run a hip hop record label. We started it probably like '98. And then ran it till 2004 and started at Temple University in Philadelphia, right? So I was a rapper, right? I started rhyming freestyle myself.
Right now.
Give me a little, let's tell the story first. Right? So I started in like 91 probably, just messing around with some friends, homeroom, right? And we had a group called BBR, Big Brother Resistance, back in the day. But after just bringing on other people to like do guest verses, I quickly realized that I sucked. The other people were better, and that I was better at business and management, getting us gigs, getting us fucking studio time booked. Got a little $500 max credit card limit, you know, at college. When they set up a little table at you're walking around college, they're giving out credit cards like it's candy back in the 90s. And so, you know, bought myself some equipment, got an MPC, you know, got some studio time. And yeah, so we put out our first vinyl. So it was called Arrakis Records from the book and movie Dune, which just came out.
Dude.
My rap name was Paul Maldive. Right? I was all right about it back in the day.
Nice. Oh, that's
awesome. Mm-hmm.
Good timing for a story like that today.
Right, exactly. That,
did
that,
you guys
that,
watch it?
Oh, yeah.
On HBO Max? That, dope, man.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I have not seen the new one.
And
it's sick, man. And, definitely check it out.
And there's more coming. Yeah, you know, I was like, wait, what? It's over?
Yeah.
No, it ain't.
Do you guys watch Star Wars? Did you watch Boba Fett?
Dude. No. Did you know what was released today? The first images of Obi-Wan.
Oh, shit. Nice.
So you get to see Ewan McGregor and how he's actually going to appear and not all this fan-made bullshit.
I'm out. So,
I only brought it up because in Boba Fett, they keep talking about the spice now, too, right?
It
helps with travel. Whatever. It's just like gas, right? Fucking for interplanetary travel. Same shit as Dune, man.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, man. I'm loving those episodes. We're everywhere. No, we're everywhere.
I gotta
get
into it. The little guy is into it, so I've got to just suck it. Cool. I'm going to suck it up and get into it.
Dude, just jump from hip-hop to
Mandalorian.
It's okay. It's all good.
Okay, so era of Dune. Okay, got it.
Yeah, Paul Maldive. But no, I'm not going to freestyle right now. Yeah, all right. I'll give you a link to some of my old shit, though, if you want.
Okay, I'll link it down there. That's the best you're going to get. For everyone listening on audio, you're going to have to go to YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, we got some...
We got a forklift. That's good. Coming,
but it's cool. They can come by.
It's cool. Come There's on. A lot of beepy.
It's all good.
It's all good for...
That's what happens when you film like we're location. Doing. Yeah. On location, man.
Yeah, they'll get a cool little visual right here.
Like a construction zone.
It's all good for... Back in the... what was I going to say? Yo, pre-pandemic, though, when we would do holiday parties at Great Notion, I'd always do, like, an end-of-the-year rap, like, hip-hop wrap-up.
Yeah.
Then I'd start writing, like, mid-year about just all the funny shit that happened in the company through the year. All the good, bad, and funny shit that happened. But it was pretty cool. We did it, like, 3-4 years in a row, but then pandemic screwed up the holiday parties and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. How did you feel about the Super Bowl halftime show this year?
It was awesome, man.
Wasn't it?
Was amazing. Oh. Yeah. Dude, it was sick.
So good.
I can't believe anyone.
The best one I've ever seen. But, I mean, it just talks to people like us, right? And our generation and everything like that, and, you know?
The people are like, this is so bad. I'm like, well,
you
what?
You don't like hip-hop.
Well, were you, that, right? are you...
You're either racist or you don't like hip-hop.
Yeah, are you old?
Yeah.
Like, old? Because I'm old.
So, I don't know. I liked it because it wasn't, like... It wasn't questionable. Like, my kids could watch it. Like, there wasn't anything bad. And typically, there's, like, nudity. And
do you mean, like, when Janet Jackson's boob got pulled? Whatever.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. Like, I was all right.
But that's natural, too. Right. That's what kids are supposed to live off of.
Shit happens. But this one was, like, it was, like, cleaned up. It was, like, okay, this is, like, family. This is, like, I was all for it, for sure.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I just love it because I love old school hip hop. And my kids listen. I mean, because we listen to hip hop in my house. My wife loves hip hop. Like, you know, it's how we actually met. My wife, because I was friends with her brother in college. We were acquaintances in college and we did hip hop shit together back in the day. Like, he put on shows.
I'm curious as to how did you end up in Oregon? I mean, it's 15 and a half, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
A conversation happened. Or something.
So the conversation was, let's move to the West Coast. Let's change up our life. So my wife and I, we had got married in 05. We started dating in 01. It's been together forever, right? And then got married in 05. And sorry. So at the beginning of like 2005 or late 04, we were talking about moving to the West Coast because we had come out here to visit and loved it. And I proposed to run in Seattle. It was like our first trip, and we randomly picked Seattle to go like somewhere cool, like across the country.
Okay.
And then when we got serious about moving to the West Coast, we checked out LA, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. Those are the four cities. We really wanted to move to San Francisco, but
Spandy.
Neither of us got jobs ahead of time.
Right.
I was three interviews deep with this one ad agency because I was doing public relations at the time, like media relations, press releases, whatever. Yeah, but either way, I didn't get that gig. And we're like, all right, our money's going to go furthest in Portland. Mm-hmm. And it was our second choice. It was weird as fuck when we first came out here.
Yeah, you know? I bet. I mean, it's weird as fuck for me right now.
Yeah.
And I live here-ish. No, I don't. I live in the same state, but like we mentioned earlier, it's a whole different. Yeah. But I'm a big city kid to begin with. I grew up in Southern California, mm-hmm. L.A. area. I'm used to this, but I've acclimated to, I guess, small town life. I mean, it's not small, but
yeah,
it sure as heck isn't.
See, and I would call it small, just because I'm from Philly, and then Portland's smaller than Philly, and that's...
In Medford, yeah, right.
Yeah, Portland, Medford's, you know? Like, yeah, tiny.
But I grew up in a town called Thousand Oaks, California, which is about 30 minutes north with no traffic of L.A. And Thousand Oaks, when I grew up in the late 70s and the 80s, was then what Medford is today. And Medford is getting bigger and bigger. Right. And T.O., Thousand Oaks now, is it's unrecognizable as the town that I grew up mm-hmm. in. So when I say small town, it's still, yeah. it's comparable. Okay. But yeah, man, culture shock still. Yeah. And no, like, but I don't miss traffic one bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, growing up, I spent my summers in San Francisco, Vacaville. And it's like, it's so different now. Like going down there now, it's like, what the hell? Like this is yeah. not, like back in the day, it was kind of like Southern Oregon almost. Vacaville was like Grants Pass. Hmm. Like you could walk to the pizza place and it was safe. And now you go down there, it's like a huge city. It's like, it's so weird.
Right.
Excuse me, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, question. I'm going to go back to Daddy's. Dad stuff, dad life, the adventure that we walk on, which is the premise of mm-hmm. this whole damn podcast. Paulie Ryder, if you were to give one piece of advice on fatherhood to any new dad.
To new dads.
Meaning they're about to have a kid or their kid is under a year old.
Yep. Okay.
What are you going to say? What are you going to give? What's that advice?
Twofold. The first one's a four-parter. The first one is advice that someone gave me.
All right.
When they're real young, like 6 months or less, and they're crying, it's always one of like three things, right? Either they're hungry, their belly hurts, or they're tired. I think that was all there is. I can't remember, right? Or the diaper. Or you got to change the diaper. Right? Yeah. Sorry. So it's one of those four things. So that's one piece of advice is no matter what, when they're crying, it's one of those things. Right?
Yes.
99% of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So try those things in that order, and you're actually first just look in a diaper. It's probably the easiest
thing. If that doesn't work, call your mom.
Yeah, that don't work, call mom, partner, or your own mom. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Call grandma. It's like right now.
So second piece of advice is the thing I'm working on is I'm going to quote Bruce Lee. Be like water. Just go with the flow. Be natural. If you need to meditate, meditate. But if your kid's fucking yelling like crazy, try your best, unlike me, to not yell back. Just go with the flow and be like water.
Be like water.
So that's what I'm trying to do myself. I'm not saying I do that. It's just what I'm learning and want to do.
Right. Do you consciously, like you mentioned, your kid's yelling at you and that trigger happens. Is it there, that conscious be like water?
I want it to be.
Okay. It's like, but it shows up after the fact, does it not?
Oh, yeah. 2 minutes later, I'm yeah. like, fuck, why did I yell? Be like water, Dad. Yeah.
Now the kid's crying. You're like, oh, no.
Yup, exactly. So it's like 30 seconds after I yell. I'm like, yeah. Oh, why'd I do that? Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. But sometimes it's, I mean, I'm guilty. Mm-hmm. I've got a little more practice at it now, but man.
But I feel like the more you talk about it actively, mm-hmm. one of these days it's going to click.
Yeah. No, also, like the more kids you have and the older you get too. Like I'm 42
mm-hmm.
and like I have a lot more patience now than I had when I was younger with my older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've lost it once on Liam. Like he was doing
That's
something.
That's it?
Yeah. He was doing something stupid in the bathtub.
I lose it every day.
Well, he threw some toys in.
But he's a baby. You don't lose it on babies, no, man.
When he looks at you and he smiles and throws a whole bunch of toys in the toilet after you tell him no.
He's messing with you, like, dude.
Yeah. Dude, what are you doing? And it was a little loud, mm-hmm. a little rough. And he's like, Dad. Pick him out.
Did he cry?
He did cry.
Okay.
He cried. He ran to mom. I'm like, no. what the hell is this, dude?
Did he learn his lesson?
No, he still does it every day.
Then Keith on the Ellen.
Now every day throws toys in the toilet.
Yeah, now I'm like water. I'm just like,
your hand's like toilet water.
I'm like, hey, babe, you got a mess. Babe, you left the seat up again.
So your oldest is 9. When does she turn 10?
October.
So.
Yep.
About 10 years ago, to the day, give or take, a conversation happened. Your wife came up to you somehow, some way, and presented with you some news that you were going to become a dad.
Yes.
Can you relive that moment and the emotions that went through yourself that day?
Dude, I think I was in New York at some event for my old job, and my wife was with a friend too, like one of my best friends was there. Whatever. It sounds weird, but it's not. I trust them 100%. Yeah, I just remember, I think on FaceTime, like seeing a picture of the fucking pee test thing, whatever.
Right.
It shows it. Yeah, positive. Yeah. And yeah, I was smiling and happy, and it was amazing, right? Best feeling in your life, and you feel it right down here in your tummy. Yeah. It's something I had wanted kids for multiple years prior to my wife. I had been pushing kids for probably like 5 years trying to have a baby, and she didn't want that for the longest time. She didn't want it.
Fast forward about 9 months later, were you in the room?
In the room, caught my daughter.
Okay,
it wasn't planned for her to have it in like a bath in the water.
Right, she was a water baby.
Yeah, they were just like, hey, if you want to labor in this little tub for a little bit at Kaiser, you know, you can hop in. And then my wife got in, she's like, I'm not getting out, I'm having a baby in here, I feel it.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, cool. So yeah, I jumped in the water and caught the baby. It was awesome.
Yeah, isn't that the greatest moment, man?
It was
sick. Woo-wee.
I'm gonna do that on the next one. Like, everybody is like,
the next one. So you're now admitting you're gonna bring more children into the World War III.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, Danielle.
Whoa. Yeah. Chill with the World War III, bro.
Water, bro.
I hate to break it to y'all, but I think technically we're still in it. We're literally kind of in it. But we could talk about other things.
Okay.
Yeah, that's depressing. Things. It's depressing and sad.
Let's talk about happy things, like when you hold that baby for the first time and you're like, oh my God.
Yes.
And yeah, all of a sudden you're like, wow, life is all different.
Look at my heart outside of my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah, my favorite thing when they're young, just stay on dad stuff, is... yeah, hopping in like a rocking chair, taking naps with the baby, like right on when they're like right here, right,
uh-huh,
or having them fall asleep on your chest. That's the best thing ever, man.
Yeah.
When you're doing like the skin to skin thing, you know, for the first couple months or whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's awesome.
I think,
dude,
my favorite part is like the learning to talk, and like right now we're like reading. Like his big thing is reading, so it's like, mm-hmm, but it's coloring books though, so it's really stupid. he doesn't want to read a regular book. He'll grab a coloring book and that has words, and he'll sound out the words, and so it's really cool to watch him learn. And then he gets it, and he's like, oh, I got it, and he high fives, and
yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
So that's like the coolest thing for me is just, dude, to see
18
him.
Months your kids read him, bro.
Yeah,
yeah.
But awesome. He still calls you a dick.
Yeah. Dude, he's a cool kid.
Oh, man. Yeah, I my 17-year-old doesn't want a skin cuddle anymore. Is that weird?
Not weird, bro.
Okay, I didn't think so. It's
weird.
I didn't think they want to be anywhere even near you at that age.
No, it's crazy. They don't. Yeah, she just wants to be anywhere in her car because she has a license in a car now. And
you saw my daughter's car in the driveway parked there.
Why was it parked like that? I did.
Because my daughter's not the brightest kid in the world. Mm-hmm. So I have a 17-year-old daughter as well. She's in trouble. She.
Okay, let me, before you tell this story, and again, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought there must be some logical explanation for what the hell I'm seeing here. Long driveway, house that kind of wraps around the yard. So driveway, big old piece of grass. Van parked at the end of the driveway, as it should.
Right.
And then in front of the van is a car parked like such.
Horizontally.
Literally, like, you would have to do an 87-point turn to get to that position in the driveway.
And her car's a stick shift, okay?
Okay.
So, anyway, so she's 17. She comes home. She has a 10 o'clock curfew. She comes home. She's at
9:59.
Exactly. She's like, hey, I'm going to go to mom's. I'm like, dude, like, you get out of church at 9. What did you do for the last 45 minutes? You could have come home earlier and talked to me and had a conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you go to your mom's. And I'm trying to explain to her time management, and she gets mad and just leaves and just goes to her mom. So I'm like, okay, that's now,
was she really at church at 9 at night, by the way, too? Or is that a different story?
No, no, she really was. Okay, like, cool. Youth group. Their youth group ends at 9, okay, but she hangs. She does worship and hangs out. And it's, yeah. Another story. Anyway, so the next day she comes back, and I'm like, okay, we need to talk about what you did. You don't just leave.
Right.
And so we talk a little bit more about it. And I'm like, explaining, okay, so here's the situation. You're going to have 2 weeks of 9 o'clock curfew, and you can go to your mom's on Fridays and Saturdays. That's, you know, that's just how it is.
Yep.
And she's like, nope, and left. Oh, and man, takes her car.
Dude, what do you do? Be like water. I don't know.
So I'm like, normally I'd be like.
That's literally the title of this episode.
I would lose my shit normally. So I'm like, no, you know what? Calm down.
Be like water. Breath.
I let her go to her mom's, waited for a few minutes. I'm like, don't bring the car back. I'm calling the cops, reporting it stolen. I'm turning your insurance off, turning your phone off. She doesn't come back. So I'm like, all right, I have an extra key. Go out, pick up the car, we park it funny so she can't get it out of the driveway.
So it was you who parked it like this.
It was, well, yes.
Well, that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense now.
The car's parked funny. She hasn't been home in 3 days. She won't talk to me. I'm like, all right, at some point she's going to have to face the consequences.
Yep. Man,
tough freaking decisions, man. These are literally, I mean,
man, it's like, you know, and she's a good kid. Like, she has two jobs, and it's just be respectful and have time management. You know, it's like you have a job.
The hormones are still nuts.
You don't get to come to your job and tell your boss "f you" and walk out the door and do what you want to do. So,
my daughter,
not looking forward to that stuff.
No,
It's coming though. So, I mean, maybe this
to about 22.
These conversations may be helping a little for you. My daughter.
It gets better.
I'm not going to remember.
17-year-old. Of course you will. You can just go to YouTube. Bam, right there. You refresh, of course, those dad cast pricks.
That one time the dude wore a blazer.
Sure.
Nick, you're doing good, buddy. You're doing good. Proud of you.
Blazers beat the...
Lakers
at least once this year.
I think they beat them twice.
I think the Lakers, who doesn't beat the Lakers this year? 17-year-old daughter, she got her license.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good.
I'm not even kidding when I tell you this story. Not 24 hours. It's like 18 hours later. Wrecked her car.
Oh, man, dude.
But you got to tell them how you found the car.
Oh, I'm going to.
She was okay, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's backtrack. I have no idea what's going on. She gets her license. I do something. I come back. Grab my boy up. We go get some in and out for the family, and we pull out of the drive-through, and it's in a mall parking lot. And I look as we're driving, and there's a Honda Civic. That looks just surprisingly a lot like Chloe's car, but it's by itself in the end of a parking lot, completely empty, dark out. And I'm like, I'm just going to take a quick peek. And I see the rims and a sticker in the back. I'm like, that's definitely Chloe's car. And I pull around, front end completely totaled. And I'm like, oh, my God. Bro, right? Yeah. So I immediately freak out. How long has it been there? Why is it there? Where is she? How is she? All these questions. And then the most important question, do I call mom first to let her know what I've seen? Or do I call to find out it? Condition of Chloe first. Well, I chose mom because we don't want that argument.
Yeah.
So I FaceTimed her and said, have you spoke with Chloe at all in the past 8 hours? No, why? I'm like, you haven't talked to her today at all? No, why? What's up? Ooh. Okay, brace yourself. Don't freak out. And I flip the camera and she's like, I gotta go. And she called and, you know, here's the funny story. Chloe is perfectly fine. She's embarrassed. She didn't call her parents because she thought we would be mad at her.
Yeah, like, we're not going to find out about the car.
But
dude, like,
you leave it in the mall parking lot. Come on.
It's like.
No matter what, we're going to be mad, yes.
I mean, now I've got other things to be mad about.
Yeah.
You know, accidents happen. We get it. And apparently, it wasn't her fault. Because there was no ticket and the cops let her go and there was no insurance thing. So, I mean, I wasn't there. We don't know exactly the scenario. It sounds a little bit fishy, but bottom line.
She's okay.
She's okay, but really? You don't call mom. You don't call me. You don't even call your dad until later. He ended up, she just went home. She went to dad's house and didn't tell anybody anything.
Yeah.
And probably was working her way up to it, but I saw the car. Mm-hmm. Now, if I hadn't seen the car, this probably would have never worked out, that situation. But bottom line, Chloe, again, sorry, I'm dishing on things that you're probably going to be very mad at me for the next 4 or 5 months because of telling this story, but it's a learning, valuable Chloe. Lesson for anyone else and other dads out there
call
watching.
Call your parents. Mm-hmm.
Seriously, right. Call your parents. Anytime, anything. That's what we're here for. The good ones, that phone call.
JP and Nick, do both your kids actually watch this?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
They do.
My 8-year-old, she's like every day, can I have a YouTube channel, Dad? Can I make a YouTube video?
You had your son on the live one last night.
My son, Joe, we just actually, shout out to Bullhorn app. We just got on their platform to do these live. Mm-hmm. And he was in there chatting away and whatnot. But they
man in the chat for you.
No.
Yeah. No, actually participating from another room.
Asking us questions. Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I dig that. He loves it. And little Miss Avery wants to be this one.
Hi, this is Avery. Thanks for listening to my dad on Dadcast.
You're welcome, baby. Yeah.
My oldest daughter that I reconnected with watches mm-hmm. the podcast and happened to see the episode with Mike Estes.
Great story here. This is I heard you guys talking about this when we first met. Yeah. Literally one of the very first things you two said to each other. But because of this podcast and because of other people watching, he reconnected with his estranged.
It was actually from a different episode too. So like it wasn't
you referenced.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was Mike Estes, who's an old friend of ours from Medford, who's actually works in Hollywood now.
Who was in The Mandalorian, by the way.
Cool.
He
was one of the black season one badass stormtroopers that came with Moff Gideon. Anyway, go ahead. Nice.
Anyway, sorry. And his wife,
he knows what I'm talking about.
Serena
Nick.
Vincent, who was a Disney mom, and she's just wow. Yeah.
She was the pink Power Ranger.
Yeah,
okay?
Pink Power Ranger.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, he has an older daughter, same age as mine, and kind of same story. We both kind of were young when we had our kids, and just got selfish and focused on ourselves, focused on doing our shit, and didn't pay attention and. And she listened to the episode and reached out after, I think it was like, it's been like 5 years since the last time I talked to her. So that was, it's awesome, it's been really cool. We talk twice a week now. And So, yeah.
I think the episode I had listened to was the guitarist from
Stewart,
the Wallflower.
Stewart.
There's a lot more. You should check them out.
I'll go back, man.
You should. I mean, I know you're a busy guy. Speaking of which, how many hours a week do you put in, give or take here? And it's leading to another question.
40 to 60.
The normal. Yeah, you expect. Well, that's not too bad.
Prior to the pandemic, me and myself and the other two owners were starting to slow down on Fridays and try to take hire great people, let them handle most of the bit.
Which I think I got to give a shout out. Your employees are awesome.
Like, oh, dude, thank you.
The service is cool. It's incredible. If you're in Portland, you've got to stop by for sure.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Notion Brewing.
Great Notion. Yeah, check us out. We got an app. Whatever. I'll plug all that stuff later. But since the pandemic, we actually came out with an app that we spent a lot of money on. We started developing the app way prior to the pandemic. And on the app is where you can play games, you can move up in the ranks. It's like a loyalty program. You can order beer, obviously. You can get it shipped to your house in 12 states, right to your door. You can buy it early, come pick it up. But I've been working on that. During the pandemic, the first year, everyone was drinking like crazy, really.
Right.
Stuck at home. Alcoholism went way up probably too, right? But no, it was great for us. But then things started to slow down, like more people were out of work, inflation, this and that, people resigning. And, so it's been a little slower. And so just working a lot more, trying to grow the business like crazy too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, that's the point of running your own business too. Like you hope to, besides make money, you hope to obviously get a great work-life balance and hire great people to take care of a large portion of the work. I don't know, just the American dream, right? It's what we're working towards.
Exactly.
We're definitely not there yet. But
did you still find enough time that you think was enough time home with the family and the kids during building of this business?
Yeah, definitely. Prior to the pandemic, I would actually physically come to work every day and work here. We have an office here and I would come work every day, 9 to 5 here. But then during the pandemic, I, took a little home office that was the kids' nursery. It's like tiniest little super hot room, no air. It sucked. But I did move off the block with my two partners and got a new house where I actually have a home office. So now I get to work from home most of the days. And that's just because I'm not the brewer. I don't make beer. And I don't serve customers. So that's what we told everyone at the beginning. Like, if you don't actually make the beer or serve the customers, you don't have to come to work anymore.
Right.
Luckily, people are starting to come back to work. And, people are psyched now to get out of their house and come back to work.
Exactly.
So I'm here probably two days a week now, maybe even three. Come in for a couple hours, talk to everyone, boost morale. Our employees are amazing. It's so nice to get to chat with them again in person.
Good stuff.
That's awesome.
So I just downloaded your app.
Dude, thank you.
There it is. Check it out. It's beautiful.
There's a video. We actually made a video game, too.
Explore the world of Great Notions. Start There's a skip option, but I'm not gonna do that.
Well, there look on your own.
There's
time,
a lizard.
There's a badass video.
You listening? Oh my gosh! I really want to say I shouldn't have done this now.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have. Well, he's doing that. Let's talk about the artist that does all of your like your the mural that's in here, the skateboards. Like.
Yeah, shout out to Chad Eaton, and he's on Instagram. If you follow Timber PS. That's his link. Yeah, TimberPS. Timber PS. Chad Eaton. He also works with Element Skateboards and like Yeti Coolers. So he's got some other cool customers too. But dude, he crushes it. We've done like a couple hundred labels probably with him at this point.
Yeah, in fact, that's a good opportunity. I'm going to, for the video portion of this, I'm going to cut it off right now to show you, actually not now, I'm going to show you a quick tour of this facility that Pauly showed us earlier in the day. We'll do that right now. Totally awesome, right? Oh, glad you guys got to check that out. And thank you for that tour.
Dude,
that was amazing. My favorite part was going into that itty-bitty, scary, dark room with labels upon upon labels.
The museum, someone called it earlier.
Yeah, right?
It's definitely a beer museum, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you have... I had a couple friends tell me you have the best labels they ever seen. I have an artist buddy down in Grants Pass, and he's like, dude, they have the best labels ever. Like,
cool.
The artwork is just incredible. There's no other beer out there that like has on that this artwork.
Like on the Blazer sweatshirt?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. The one that JP is wearing.
Yeah, dude, you know what's even sicker? So, if you like... weird shit.
The fact that the skeleton is wearing
video
games,
everything. So we actually made an augmented reality version of this guy, which I'll show you when we're done.
Okay.
Where the skeleton, no one else has seen it yet, so you might be able to get a link to it. So the skeleton will pick the ball up, you know, swirl it around, dribble behind his back and everything. We're going to launch it next season with the Trailblazers, though, in September.
Oh, sweet.
So I'll give you a sneak peek of it, though.
Okay.
It's pretty bad. Like, you could just put them right here and make them, like, huge, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's cool. It's like if you ever tried the Pokemon Go or any other augmented reality things. Yeah. It's like that.
Oh, crazy.
Is that within the app?
It's in the app. Not yet. It will be, but not yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, our whole ethos here is like it was a new tagline at the beginning of last year, but keep beer fun. That's what we're trying to come out with, fucking weird-ass cool flavors of beer, sell it to our customers in a cool way. Like if you get it delivered to your house, we wanted to make a box. We want people to do like the unboxing thing. We don't want it to just be like a plain UPS box. We want it to be like a Tiffany's engagement ring or Voodoo Donuts,
right.
The pink box.
An occasion.
Your first iPad. Like, so it's sick. We have this box that looked like a space forest with characters all over it. And, you know, all these. It's not just a one fucking dimensional thing is all I'm saying. Yeah.
Doing it right. What do you say to this? And there's snobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to those beer snobs that are like, you know, how do I word this correctly?
We say beer nerds. That's what I call them. Same thing. Yeah.
But and we're it's like kind of the reverse of beer snob. The Coors Light Budweiser drinking crew.
Yeah, they're not the beer snobs.
They're not ever going to touch this beer anyway,
right,
are they?
Right. No, but we have a lager. I mean, dude, like if
that's
you want to come
I'm
in,
saying.
We have a beer called A Place at the Table, and that's the whole purpose. There's a place at the table for everyone. Like, you know, if you want to come and just spend $5 and get the biggest beer we can get you, you know, we'll give you a lager, man. But if you want to fucking enjoy some cool, weird, unique shit or some super high class, you know, barrel aged stout, you know, we'll serve a beer for everyone.
Speaking of barrel aged stout, what are in those barrels right behind me here?
There you go. Barrel aged stout, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Imagine that.
So there's
even a guy wearing a Portland Trailblazers shirt.
But as you can see, there's a shout out to a local company right behind you. We have a bunch of barrels from Bull Run. So we support the local distilleries. So Bull Run's a local distillery. Okay. They make some darn good whiskey here, not far, bourbon. You technically can't say bourbon, but yeah, some good whiskey here. But on the other side, we also have some great stuff from Kentucky in there too, like Woodford Reserve or, like I said, Four Roses earlier. So we got some good shit too. So what we do, we make a really thick, strong stout, like maybe like 10-12%. We'll barrel age it in the whiskey barrels for almost 2 years, and that'll get the ABV up too. Like, we'll come out sometimes and have like a 15% or like a real big thick heavy stout, and then we'll put some adjuncts in it. And an adjunct is anything that's not water, yeast, grain, and hops, right? So anything else you put in a beer, like coffee or coconut or maple syrup or peanuts or whatever, right? Those are called adjuncts, right? So then we'll put the adjuncts in and put it in a big blending tank, let it sit there for another few months or so, and then package it up. So we have some that'll just hit you in the face with like vanilla or like a chocolate chip cookie or, you know, an oatmeal raisin cookie beer, like all those kind of things.
A Dadcast chocolate chip cookie beer.
Ooh. There you go, maybe, right? You wanted a stout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, chocolate-covered bacon beer.
Ooh.
Oh.
We've done a bacon beer for real, sold. Though.
We chocolate covered bacon.
The one
bacon,
that you had me try. It wasn't even a bacon beer, but it was, oh my gosh.
But we really did a bacon beer where we actually put bacon in the beer. It was called Oink.
Nice.
Simple and direct.
Oh, dude, it was a stout, too, actually. It was a stout. It was a dark bacon.
Very
beer,
cool.
Bro.
Nick. All right. It is time.
All right, yeah.
And I think you actually got it done.
I did.
Okay, man, I'm excited because this is the first in-person Fast Five we've done in quite a while.
How fast do I have to answer?
Well, it's just the name of the segment. You can literally take 10 minutes to answer the questions if needed.
That'll but be boring. If I take 10 minutes, I'm going to jump to a different question.
That'll be so boring to your listeners.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Let's go, Nick.
All right, what's your favorite food to cook for your kids?
I heard someone say spaghetti recently. That's not mine. So to cook or to like heat up for something quick?
To actually cook. Like kids are like, hey, dad, I want you to make me something.
No, I feel you. Yeah. To actually cook, I will go, even though someone fucking said it, it's not spaghetti. It's a Sunday gravy, right? Or something like that. Mm. But we love to use the slow cooker in our house too. My wife's a teacher. You know, she works. I'm working at the brewery. It's nice to prep something in the morning. Like do like, you know, a bolognese, get some ground beef going in there, onions, whatever, tomatoes. But to actually start it in the morning, you come home from work and it fucking smells great in the whole house. And everyone's psyched when they smell anything in the slow cooker. So my answer could just be anything in the slow cooker, right? But no, I do like a nice thick gravy, whatever.
Okay. If you could have a banner with anything on it, what would it be and why?
If it's a work
thing. Not a banner, damn.
If it's a work thing, it'll say keep.
Nope,
if it's a work thing, it'll say don't. So don't answer, be like water.
A billboard.
A billboard.
Oh, yeah.
Not a banner.
Got it, a billboard.
I keep doing that.
So if it's a work thing, it'll say keep beer fun. Great notion, right? And I want to get a billboard like that.
I think the billboard's the same answer, right?
Yeah. So if it's my own, I'm gonna say be like water because that's what I'm striving to be like right now. Mm-hmm. Just because my wife got me this Bruce Lee book and I want to get through it soon and be like him.
Very cool.
Just have you watched the dragon?
With that's
watch all the dragons.
Well, the movie about his life.
No, not
that
yet.
Was out
to.
Not too terribly
not,
long
and
ago.
By the way, for the record, I am not saying I'm the biggest fan or anything. It's just a new book that's sitting next to me in bed at night.
Read the book and then go back to the 90s and watch Dragon, the Bruce Lee story with. I can't remember the actor that's in it, but it's incredible.
Yeah, and I'm going to feel like a phony if I mention him again because, again, I'm not an expert or even the biggest fan yet. But
I was
I
just
going
to challenge you to a karate match.
Yeah, oh, shit. Nah, bro, you're fighting UFC fighters. I'm good, man.
I'm not fighting shit.
I'll beat you in chess, though. I'll beat you
in right now, my biggest opponent.
Who was talking about Street Fighter? Oh, you were talking about
my biggest opponent's a Black Widow. That's my biggest opponent right now.
He got bit by a Black Widow the other night. Twice on his head.
How the fuck did that happen on your head?
So I have a garage gym. Like I do like CrossFit stuff in my garage. And I'm doing pull-ups. There's a spider web up there. I hit a spider web. Didn't think anything of it. Go in my office. I'm doing some work. And then like 5 minutes later, I feel like I got electrocuted. And I'm like, oh, no. That's so weird. Like, and then all of a sudden, my whole body starts on fire. And I start sweating profusely.
Holy shit.
And
you're okay? You're here and you're okay?
I'm alive, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. We called the poison control and they're like, take some muscle relaxers.
3 days ago.
That's all the hospital's going to give you. That's Valium.
Oh, my God.
So I hurt my back, so I have some muscle relaxers.
Yeah.
So I took a muscle relaxer and
Goes away? You're okay?
Went to bed. I hope so.
All right, so there's a lesson. We can get bit by Black Widows and live. Like,
twice.
Dude, I saw one in my garage, too. I didn't go anywhere fucking near it.
I called JP. He's like, should I pee on it? I'm like, no, probably not.
Kill it with fire, man.
Dude.
All right, let's go. Let's
anyway,
go.
Okay. All right. Favorite vacation spot to take your kids?
Thailand, bro. So my wife's half Thai. We've been to Thailand like 4 times together, but we took the kids a couple years ago before the pandemic. It was awesome, man.
Oh, very cool. Favorite accomplishment with your kids?
Weekend one might be the coast, though, or something easy. Sorry. Favorite accomplishment with the kids? That they're psyched to eat vegetables that we pick from our own garden. I love that. Like, one of the things when I moved out west, I was like, I want to start growing my own fruit and vegetables and have chickens and all that shit. So at my old house, we actually had chickens, raising. But then just like if you grow broccoli yourself, dude, like to have your kids like vegetables,
because
they'll go out. My kids love going outside and like picking asparagus and eating it. I'm like, dude, I never as a kid would have ever fucking done that in a million years, but they do it, man.
That's awesome.
So I love that. Yeah,
very cool.
Highly recommend that.
Okay. Your funniest fail as a parent? We've all had them.
Yeah. Hold on. Dude, I don't know. I saw my one friend get like completely shit all over. But that's not my funniest fail, dude.
But that is funny.
I'm trying to think of my funniest fail, dude. That's a good question. I'll just say my funny, it's like happy thing. It's not even a fail, but like the fact that my kid one day, when I was potty training my younger kid, I just remember her eating a sandwich. It was like lunchtime or something. She's eating it. And then she's like, it was one of the first times she asked to like go to the potty herself. And she like walks over. She's eating a sandwich and like taking a dump at the same time, dude. And I filmed it. My wife and I once in a while like go back and look at it like and just crack up. So it's not a fail, but it's one of the funniest moments.
She's
like,
going to hate you if you show that later, man.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And in the video, I'm like, what are you doing? She's like eating. I was like, what else are you doing? Pooping. It's just the funniest fucking thing, dude.
Oh, yeah, the honesty of kids.
Oh, man. America's Funniest Home Videos. I'm saying that.
But, bro, hold on. Don't say you've never eaten and, like, taken piss.
When I used to drink. Yeah. Prior to being a dad, I used to think it was the funniest. And we're talking full-grown-ass adult.
Yeah.
You know, in my 30s, being at the bar and drinking while peeing at the same time, and you know, look what's happening, everyone. It's going in and right out. It
done that.
God, immaturity. Yeah. But
I do that every day. Right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm doing it. I do every day. Actually.
Just, you know. Why not? Dude?
Do you have any more questions?
I don't. Man.
I got one, possibly two. Normally, I ask of musicians if you could play with any artist, living or dead, that you have not done so already, who would it be? And I was fighting with myself while you guys were answering questions back and forth how I could interpret that one for you. And I came up with one. If you...
I mean,
could,
I'm a musical artist, too.
I was going to say, technically, he could answer that question.
Answer that question.
That I could play with any of them?
You could play a show with any artist, right. Living or dead. Who would it be?
Cool. Let's go with... See, I love old shit, too, so I was going to... Most people say like Paul McCartney or something like that, which I fucking love. Huge Beatles fan, but I feel like it'd probably be Nas, just because Nas is my favorite hip hop artist ever.
Yeah,
and I feel like people have said the Beatles or Paul McCartney on your show before, so I'm gonna go with Nas.
Probably, maybe once or twice, but yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, I dig it.
Not Lil Nas X. Who, whenever I say Nas, my kids think I'm talking about Lil Nas X. No,
oh, man, you gotta bust out the old school stuff, yep. Dude. You gotta school them. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like
okay.
My kid got into hip hop. I'm like, dude. Nas, that's where it's at, man.
Yep.
You start there.
Yeah. I'm a 90s hip-hop guy.
If you can run another business, not this one.
Right.
I mean, this one, it's on autopilot. You're doing great, and you have the opportunity to start another successful business. Do you know where you'd go, path you'd go?
No, I already do know what I want to do next. So this business, Great Notion, was always like my neighbors, James and Andy. It was their dream.
Right.
To run a brewery. It wasn't my dream. I actually didn't even get into craft beer really until like less than 10 years ago, you know, 5 to 10 years ago. But, you know, it was their dream. So one day I don't always have to be CEO because beer's not my expertise,
right.
Whatever. It's become it, right? But no, my next thing I want to get into is, I'll just call it like mixed media. Like basically I want to write a sci-fi book for kids. Just we were talking about Star Wars. I love that shit, but I want to do it for like little girls too, like because I have two daughters, right? I'm inspired by them. But then I want to take a step further and take it into YouTube and video games and other cool shit for them. Whatever comes next, augmented, no fucking VR, right?
Yeah,
like a cool VR game with like a badass young girl who's got a fucking lightsaber.
Sci-fi robot.
Yes, exactly, dude. Yeah, they're gonna make me put some romance in it too because they love Disney fucking princess shit.
As you get that thing developed. I got the perfect 11-year-old boy who may be 12 or 13 by then. My son.
He can chill, though, bro.
Who will... He'll test that out for you, man. That kid's in his room. In fact, I mean...
Is he on an Oculus right now?
Yes. He's probably literally on it as we speak.
Playing Walking Dead.
But I want to show you a video. There it is.
Is this your kid?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I have an Oculus. Yeah.
So you know the drill. He's running to every wall, hit himself on it. He's come close to breaking the big TV. Now there's you gotta put the boundaries on there, kid. But it's just fun watching them. And then my 8-year-old now gets into it too.
Yeah,
they're playing some monkey game where they're climbing a tree or something. I don't know.
I haven't let my kids touch it yet.
No,
it's like, that's daddy. Stay away.
Yeah. Well, I actually bought it for me. I toyed with it. I had every intention of giving it to him. I just didn't tell him that. Said, son, I got myself an Oculus. Yeah. And he was like super excited, but there's also a very, very hint of sadness there behind those eyes. And we set it up, and I downloaded a game, and I played it, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, Sawyer, check this out. And he played it, and then I was like, you know what? I don't want it. You can keep it, man. It's all yours. And he flipped out, and that was it. Yeah. And then, of course, little girl wanted one, and so we got her one for her birthday, and that they get everything. Cool. I spoil the bejesus out of them. It's ridiculous. Yep. I just bought them. I won a jackpot in Vegas for the first time ever. I got a handy.
Sick, dude.
I won $5,000. It was like, yes, and I promised them every time, because we go to Vegas a lot. Well, if I ever win a jackpot, I'm going to buy y'all something nice. And I finally did, so I bought him a PlayStation 5. Sweet. So now he's got an Xbox, dude, PlayStation 5, an Oculus. Cool. Yeah.
Are they still super hard to get?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you, man. That's
Yeah.
So real quick, just go back to the story of kids and video games.
Yes.
We had an Airbnb like up here at Mount Hood like a year ago, roughly, right? And they had a Wii in the house. And I don't. My kids just had never played the Wii before, Nintendo Wii. Uh-huh. And so we're playing bowling as a family. Okay. Like, all four of us. And it was my older daughter, actually, and she we didn't put the straps around the arms, and she goes back, and we're teaching her how to bowl because she wasn't getting it right. We're like, pull your arm back hard and then go forward. She lets the fucking thing fly into the TV, cracks the TV, dude.
Right.
We flipped out her. I feel bad. She started crying like crazy, man. Like,
oh, no.
But again,
it was funny, man.
Gut reaction. Yeah. It's, but I would have went, what?
Okay, so picture this. A bunch of 25-year-olds. John McEnroe shorts, little tight tank tops, the whole nine, dude. Playing tennis, tennis. That's how we did it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You made everyone dress up like that?
Oh, yeah. That you couldn't. Awesome. You could not come in the house unless you had the short shorts on and the high socks. We broke some TVs.
Yeah, dude. All right, cool.
It was crazy.
That's what were we talking about? Oh, it was with, funny that, mention that, Bill Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a, are you into ping pong at all by any chance?
Played before.
Okay. Yeah, well, I threw out a challenge to Bill Ryder, who I asked you earlier, it was possibly related to you.
Yeah.
And how friggin' cool would that be if you guys actually were like second distant cousins or something?
Do it, email but, please.
We'll, we got to get in touch with him because we're going to do a ping pong tournament for charity. I'm going to wipe the floor with him.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I hope so. I talked a big game.
But you're wearing the short shorts.
But nice, and that's the thing. We're wearing, you know, the big short shorts and the big old poofy socks that go up the ankles.
With the stripes on the top.
Fluorescent stripes.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Something along those lines. Yeah.
And then, you know, Nike just came out with the old school 1974 waffle ones.
Nice.
If that's what you're wearing.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Sweet.
Gentlemen, we are pretty much out of time. He is Paul Ryder, CEO of Great Notion Brewing, who... pretty much treated us like friggin' kings today, man. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for taking time out of your day and doing everything today for us and appearing on Dadcast, man. It's been super special.
4 hours, or maybe it was autopilot. I don't know.
It was on autopilot. There was still a couple of, you know, I got it. For whoever's not in my seat, I can imagine how scary it must be looking over, and I'm just like, you know, oh, look at that over there.
It's switching lanes for you and everything, too.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. Have you ever been in one?
My dad has one.
Okay.
Yeah, he loves it.
So you know then. You know. Yeah, it's a fun ride. Mm-hmm. And we get to go back.
I always just want to play with the screen, though, when I'm in it. It's like the biggest iPad ever is in the middle of the dashboard.
It's good stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, autopilot's a friggin' lifesaver.
Nice.
He is Mr. Nick Martin. And I am JP, and that is it. Once again, on location at Great Notion Brewing. Thank you so much. For everyone watching and listening, we appreciate you. Like, up, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff if you're watching
on
YouTube.
Download the Great Notion app.
There you go. And now it is absolutely before Dish, your info, Paulie. Yeah,
exactly.
Your info.
Cool. Check us out on Instagram at Great Notion, GREATNOTION. Yeah, we got 3 tap rooms here in Portland, 2 in Seattle. We can ship right to you in Oregon, Washington, California, lots of other states throughout the country. Yeah, check the app out. There's a secret video game in there. You can move up in the ranks and get free shit, too. Like, check it out.
Boom. There you have it.
All right.
I'll link all that information down below. Again, thank you. Subscribe, comment. We appreciate
you.
We love you. We'll check you out on the next episode. See you.
Cool.